Welcome to this week's OUJLIC Shir Kvali on the Parsha. We're going to be tackling this week Parshat Ki Tavo. And the first thing to start with, the first thing we're going to focus on is, as we often do, is the title of the Parsha itself, Parshat Ki Tavo. Now, we know that the title of a Parsha, the name of a Parsha, has to encompass the essence of the Parsha itself. And we can look at that inherently, but as we've been doing in previous weeks, there's also the interrelationship between the end of the previous Parsha and the beginning of the coming week's Parsha. So thinking for a second, even before we start, in terms of Parsha Ki Tavo, what would you might think would be the relationship, the almost very clear, overt relationship that's hinted to between the name of last week's Parsha and therefore the thrust of last week's Parsha that leads into the name and the thrust of this week's Parsha? What was last week's Parsha? Ki Teitze. And this week's Parsha is Ki Tavo. So what might be the relationship between Ki Teitze and Ki Tavo? What does Ki Teitze mean?
Go
to go out. And the context of Ki Teitze is? To go out to war. Parshat Ki Tavo, what does Ki Tavo mean? When you come out, when you come back, when you come in. Clearly, some are indicating an interesting relationship between Parshat Ki Teitze and Parsha Ki Tavo, where Ki Teitze is the going out Parsha, and Ki Tavo is somehow then the coming back and the coming in Parsha. What does it mean to go out? Let's start with that, in terms of Parsha Ki Teitze. What does it mean to go out? Very often we go out, and we go out somewhere, what it means is that we're going out to go and do something. Meaning, our status quo is to be at home. Our status quo, you don't have to, it's fine, yeah. Status quo is that we're at home, we're stationary, we know where we are, and then at a certain point we make a choice, we make a decision, that there's something that we want to go out to do, and we leave the comfort and the confines of our home, our stationary place, to go out and accomplish something in the world. Now it could be something grand, like going out, is the context of Parsha Ki Teitze, Ki Teitze l'milchama levecha, to go out against to war against another people. But every time, every single day, we make the same decision. When we leave our home, we're leaving our home for a certain goal. I'm going out today to go to my classes and to accomplish in school. I'm going out today to go to my job and to do my task at work. I'm going out to accomplish something. But there's a sense in the context of Ki Teitze of going out to accomplish something. And in that context of going out, of leaving the safety and the confines of my own home, that there could be pitfalls. There could be dangers. There could be things that are difficult along the way. And we discussed this last time.
What time is Mincha?
1:20. There could be difficulties along the way. We talked about last time the concept that when we go out to do anything, when we go out on a derech, that somehow inherently on a derech, on a path, on a road, it's fraught with danger. That's why, what was the example we gave last time, the kind of manifestation of that, even halachically, that we gave last time? Tefillat HaDerech. When we go out on the way, when we go out to do something, when we leave the confines of our home, we have to say a special tefillah, a special prayer. Tefillat HaDerech. Our sage is codified. A certain tefillah, that we say Hashem's name, that we say a bracha. Because we're going out into a place that's fraught with danger. Literally in the sense that we could be attacked from the outside. Metaphorically, in the sense that there are things that are going to challenge us, there are things that are going to be complicated. The minute that we go out on the derech, we need to say a tefillat haderech. We need to say a prayer to help safeguard us. And we don't have the comparable thing for the bayit. We have those cute little nice birkat habayits that we put up on the wall, and those are very beautiful things that that express a blessing that should be on the house. However, there's no bracha there. There's no mitzvah. There's no inherent need to go and say a bracha, to say a blessing on the fact that I've come home. God, please make sure that I'm safe as I stay in the confines of my beautiful, warm, protected house. There's no bracha. But when I'm on the way, it's inherently fraught with danger. That's what a yitziyah is. That's what a going out is. And so we transition out of Parshat Ki Teitze. We transition out of all of those journeys, and we come to Parshat Ki Tavo. Now we're settled like normal. I can do this much better. Excellent. Come to Parshat Ki Tavo. And Parshat Ki Tavo says, okay, we've gone through all of those journeys. We've gone out to what we need to accomplish. Do we have any more of the source sheets? I'll take this dash. Yeah. You keep a stash. We've gone out to accomplish what it is that we need to accomplish, and now we are finally able to come to a place, ki tavo, where we can come and we can settle. We've accomplished what we've set out to accomplish. We've overcome what we set out to overcome, and now we can come to a place of rest. Now we can come to a place of shlemut. Now there's a sense of completion, a sense of wholeness. We can come and finally settle where we need to settle, knowing that we've accomplished what we set out to accomplish. Parshat Ki Tavo. And that, to a certain extent, makes Parshat Ki Tavo, what my Rebbe refers to as, the wrapping up, the beginning of the wrapping up, of the wrapping up. How so? We've gone on a journey through all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and the final station in Chamisha Chumshei Torah is Sefer Devarim. And Sefer Devarim takes place only over 37 days. It's the wrapping up of Torah. It's reevaluating Torah. It's looking at Torah through the new lens of how it's going to be applied in Eretz Yisrael. It's wrapping up what all of Torah is setting out to accomplish. Comes Parshat Ki Tavo, and we come to the wrapping up of the wrapping up. We begin to start wrapping up that culminating Sefer. And we come and we settle. And really from here on out, whether it's to the rest of this Parsha, in the context of what we refer to as the Tochacha, but is much more well-defined as the contract between us and God, us coming and sitting down and signing that contract on the brachot and the klalot. It's not just klalot. On the brachot and klalot, that we're saying, this is who we are, this is what we want to be, we're settling on this. We're uniting together. And then the very bottom line, mind-blowing parshiot of Nitzavim, Vayelech, and Ha'azinu, all very short, because they pack a punch as the real bottom line wrapping up of Torah. When you read those parshiot, there's only sometimes 30, 40 psukim per parsha. Sit with them over the coming weeks. We're lucky that this year we don't have any double parshiot. Sit with them each week when we hit those parshiot of Nitzavim, Vayelech, Ha'azinu, and then the sort of postscript of Zot HaBracha, just the brachot at the end as we close out Chumash. This is the wrapping up stage. We've come and we've settled. Hence, Parshat Ki Tavo. With that as a working framework, let's go into the content of Parshat Ki Tavo. We get to this place where we've arrived. We've settled. Ki Tavo. What's the first thing that we do in the context of Ki Tavo? How does Ki Tavo open? With Bikurim. Excellent. When we come and we bring the first fruits of our labor to the Mishkan and to the Beit HaMikdash. That's how we start. But it's much more than that. I want to actually together read through the Parsha of Bikurim together. And think broadly. What's really the underlying theme of Parshat Bikurim? Let's read it together. It's source number 3 on your sheets. Source numbers 1 and 3 contrast each other. The beginning of Ki Tetzeh and the beginning of Ki Tavo. We'll come back to sources 2 much later on in Shir, but I wanted to give them to you chronologically as they appear in Chumash. But coming into source number 3, the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo. Reads. V'aya ki tavu el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha nachala v'yirishta v'yashav taba. It will be when you enter the land that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance and you possess it and dwell in it. V'lakachta mirishit kol pri ha'adama asher tavi mi'artzecha asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach v'samta v'tena v'alachta el ha'makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha l'shaken shemosham. That you take of the first of every fruit of the ground that you bring in from your land that Hashem your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that Hashem your God will choose to make His name rest there. Now we start to switch gears. Uvatal ha-kohen asher yeh bayimim ha-hen v'marta elav. And you go to the kohen of that time and you say to him, higadeti hayom l'Hashem Elokecha kivati el ha'aretz nishpa Hashem l'avoteinu latit lanu. I declare today to Hashem your God that I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us. Pasuk Dalet. V'lakach ha-kohen atena miyadecha, and the kohen will take the basket from your hands. V'inichol lifnei ha-mizbach Hashem Elokecha. He's going to put it in front of the mizbeach. V'anita v'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. You will say before Hashem. Meaning the person who brings the Bikurim says before Hashem. Arami oved avi v'yered mitzrayma. V'yagar sham bimtei ma'at. V'yisham l'goy gadol atzum varav. an Armenian, tried to destroy my forefather. He descended to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation great, strong, and numerous. The Egyptians mistreated us and afflicted us, and placed hard work upon us. Then we cried out to Hashem, the God of our forefathers, and Hashem heard our voice and saw our affliction, our travail, and our oppression. And Hashem took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, with great awesomeness and with signs and with wonders. And he brought us to this place, and he gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Last few pesukim. And now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the ground that you have given me, O Hashem, and you shall lay it before Hashem your God, and you shall prostrate yourself before Hashem your God. Last pasuk. V'samachta b'chol hatov asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha leveitecha ata v'alevi v'ager asher b'kirvecha. And you shall rejoice with all the goodness that Hashem your God has given you, and you and your household, you and the Levite and the proselyte who is in your midst. Very powerful paragraph. Very, very powerful paragraph. What's the underlying theme? What's happening in that paragraph? Calling it Bikurim makes it sound singularly agricultural, and that's just not enough. What's happening in this paragraph? Good, you're tired, I'm totally with you. I haven't slept this week either. We're all in this together. Let's go. What's happening in this paragraph? We read every pasuk for pasuk, I've translated in English together. What's happening in this paragraph? Yeah?
Well, the individual who's bringing the Bikurim is like connecting himself to the whole history of Israel
and
Egypt.
Yeah, very interesting. There's this whole reflection that starts all the way back in Egypt from the birth of our people, all the way to that moment in time when they're settled in the land and bringing the Bikurim. I would not have intuitively thought, oh, Bikurim, let's do a history lesson. So assuming that it does go through all of history, but assumably is not a history lesson, because the Levi definitely knows the history, and it's the Jews telling him. So it's not a history lesson. What then would be the goal? What's happening here? If you were to encompass it in a word or in two words, what's happening in this paragraph? What's the goal of this paragraph? What are we doing when we say this declaration? What are we doing when we're going through our history? What's the underlying theme here?
Gratitude.
Excellent. Excellent. Says Yitzi, we're here to say gratitude. It's not to remember what happened to us. Of course we know. Again, the Levi knows and the person who's saying it knows. But it's very clear that the underlying theme here of what's happening is we're showing gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To use two Hebrew terms, what might be good Hebrew terms for the word gratitude? Hakarat HaTov. Or?
Hodaya.
Yes. That's the underlying theme of what's happening here, and Rashi emphasizes that point, that at the beginning of the declaration, V'amartai lav, and you shall say to him, says Rashi, source number 4, on that pasuk, on the spot, She'eincha kafoy tova, that's the opposite of hakarat tov, to be ungrateful, that there needs to be a recognition that there's somehow, again, Rashi's putting it there even before the declaration starts, what you're about to say is to make sure that there isn't kafoy tov, to make sure that there is hoda and hakarat tov. Yitzi was just channeling his inner Rashi. Right? That's what we're doing. That's why we're here. And what it seems to imply is that somehow in that moment where we come to the Kitavo, where we come to that place of rest, when all is said and done, and we return home, literally and metaphorically, and when we come to rest as a people, the goal of what we're meant to accomplish there, the goal of what we're meant to achieve in that moment, when we finally reach that place of Shlemut, when we finally come to rest, when we as the wandering Jews come to our place of rest, and we'll talk about how it exists on both levels, whether it's in our own life, whether it's historically coming to a conclusion in Eretz Yisrael, or whether it's historically coming to a conclusion in Yimot HaMashiach and Tkiyat HaMetim, that the ultimate goal of Ki Tavo is somehow to come to a place of Hakarat HaTov and Hoda'ah. It's a very powerful concept. That that seems to be the final chord of where we're meant to end up, of where we're going, of where we're meant to come to a place of rest. Now, this shouldn't be so surprising. We read through all of those psukim. And whether you remember saying those psukim, or you remember spacing out, also while somebody else said those psukim, did anybody recognize those psukim that we just read out loud? From the Haggadah, from the Seder. Those are the psukim that we read on Seder night. Those psukim are the core of the Haggadah. On Leila Seder we come and read the Haggadah. What's the whole goal of Seder night? Why are we coming together on Seder night? What's the ultimate goal of Seder night? What? That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is Yigadat Labincha. For what purpose? Why are we there on Seder night? We're supposed to remember it and tell our children. Why? Why do you remember that? It's a night of Hodah Anakarat HaTov. The whole goal of Seder night is to sit there and to say the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so this paradigmatic paragraph, this key paragraph, which inherently is all about Hoda'ah, reflecting on history and having Hoda'ah for a history of goodness for us, looking back to the very beginning of ourselves as people, becomes the paragraph. That's the central paragraph, the core, the original paragraph that was the Haggadah. Take a look inside from the Rambam, source number 5. V'tzarich lahatchil b'gnut u'lisayim b'shevach. We have to start from a negative place. Assumably here, let's go with from Arami Oved Avi, from the attack that Lavan throws against us and tries to destroy us as a family that we're trying to build up to be a people all the way at the end of days, and end with Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we got to. Skipping forward in the underline. V'chein matchil u'modia she'avadim ha'inu l'paro Mitzrayim. We start and we declare that we were servants to Paro in Egypt. V'chol harash she'gamalanu, and every all the negativity that came upon us in Egypt. U'misayim v'nisim v'niflaot she'nasu lanu u'v'chirutenu. And all of the tremendous signs and wonders that came in on our freedom. That's why we read this paragraph, as a reflection of our history, of where we started and where we got to. And to praise God for taking us to that place. And anybody who is Doresh on Seder night, more and more in that parasha, which is a reflection of thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaReza Meshubach. That's what Seder night is all about.
Why would you need to read Pasuk Yud though? Is that just going back to the Bikurim solely?
Why do you need to read
Pasuk Yud? I mean, it says Ad Shigmar Kol HaParsha, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would include Pasuk Yud, right?
You could also just mean the entire discussion that happens there from the person who's making the declaration. I would understand it as such. Be interesting if it wasn't the case, but I would understand it as such. So on Seder night, the ultimate night of Hoda'ah, the ultimate night of thankfulness, the ultimate night of looking back and reflecting on where we've come from and where we've come to, is all about Hoda'ah, and therefore draws from this paragraph. And in fact, the Ramban links into this in one of possibly the most powerful Ramban in Chumash, certainly one of the most often quoted Rambans in Chumash, at the very least. It's a very, very lengthy Ramban at the conclusion of Parshat Bo, which is Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's quoted around Pesach time, it's quoted around Purim time, now we're quoting it around Yom Hashanah time. It's quoting all over the place. Because he makes very bold statements here. And what he's talking about is in the context of, at the end of Parshat Bo, where it mentions Tefillin, and he's dealing with why is it talking about Tefillin at the end of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And he says, because one of the reasons for Tefillin is because it's Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. And so are so many mitzvot, Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim. And that's what he says here. Again, there's a lot more Ramban beforehand, a lot of it dealing with Tefillin. Very, it's fascinating and brilliant and amazing. But focusing on the end where he transitions, he says, V'chein kol kayotze behen mitzvot rabot l'zecher Letziat Mitzrayim. So many mitzvot, like the mitzvot of Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim. Next paragraph, the underline. V'kavanat kol ha-mitzvot, the goal of all mitzvot, shena'amin be'elokeinu, is that we should have faith in our God. V'node'elav, and to give thanks to Him, shehu bera'anu, that He created us. Hear the next sentence. V'hi kavanat ha-yitzira, Says the Ramban, this is the whole purpose of creation itself, and he's not speaking here in grand gestures. He's very specific. This is why the entire world was created. She'ein lanu ta'am achar b'yitzira harishna. We have no other reason for the creation of all of existence. Ve'ein el elyon chafetz betachtonim. And God has no desire in this world other than milvad she'idah adam, that man should know the yodeh le'lokav shebira'o, should know that God created him and give odah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating him. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, and that's why so many mitzvot are zikr l'tzivin Yisrael. The whole goal of all of mitzvot, of all of the history of the Jewish people, is to get to a recognition of a hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give hoda'ah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Skipping to the next page, which is the second, it's still a continuation of the Ramban, the next paragraph in the Ramban, he says, "Umin ha'nisim ha'gdolim ha'meforsamim adam, modev ha'nisim ha'nistarim," that through these great miracles that we saw in Egypt, we're able to see God in every aspect of life, in the smaller miracles, in the miracles of nature, sharei yisora Torah kula, the whole foundation of the Torah. She'ein, he says very strongly here, she'ein la'adam chelek b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu, that a Jew has no portion in the Torah at all. Ad shena'amin, until a person truly brings themselves to a place of faithfulness, of understanding, of connectivity to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, on the fact, bechol divareinu mikreinu shekol nisim, that the shekolam nisim, that every aspect of our lives, are all miracles and are all me'es Hashem. Ein bahem teva u'minago shel olam. There's no such thing as nature, there's no such thing as minago shel olam, it's all from God. Bein barabim bein ayachid. It's an amazing thing he's saying. That's what we're meant to get to. That the miracles of Yitziat Mitzrayim, that the experience of Yitziat Mitzrayim, that the overt miracles of showing us that there's a God who's above and beyond nature, who's choosing to break those laws of nature, to take us out, and to save us at Kriyat Yam Suf, and to make us as people at Matan Torah. That same God is the God who's with us throughout history, and that everything that we go through is all Me'es Hashem. It's all from God. It's all connecting to God. And without that, frighteningly says the Ramban, that a person doesn't have a chelek in the Torah bechlam. That's something that we're meant to work on, to really strive to achieve. That's the goal of why we're here, which is beautifully summed up very concisely in a pasuk in Yeshayahu, source number 7, Yeshayahu Perek Mem Gimel, pasuk Chaf Aleph. Bottom line, says God, Am zu yatzarti li. I made this nation for me, says God, for one purpose. Tehilati yisaperu. Tehilati yisaperu. To sing praise to me. God doesn't need us to sit here and sing praise, but to recognize that I exist and give hodah for my existence and recognize that God is the source of everything. And that God is doing it for the good. That's the whole purpose. And with that in mind, even flipping back to the Ramban, of course the Ramban is going to link into that. Switch back to page 1. The underline that we skipped over. I left a little break in the underline to show you where to pick up from. 4 lines in at the bottom paragraph. Last underline is the kavanot. The kavanot rememut hakol batfilot, and the whole point of raising our voices in tefillah. The kavanot batei haknesiot, and the purpose of all batei haknesiot. Uzchut tefillat harabim, and the whole purpose of davening together as a group. Zoi sheyeli bnei adam makom, there should be a place for people to come together, sheyikabsu, to come together. V'yodu lakel, and to give thanks to God, shebira'am, for creating us. V'him siyam, and allowing us to exist, v'yifar simu ze, v'yomru lefanav briotecha anachnu, and to be mefarsim this, to make it public, and to say, we're your creations. We're here to recognize that God created us, that he's involved in every aspect of our lives, to thank God for it through tefillah, through the B'tei Knesiot, through every action we take, through every mitzvah that Zecha Letziat Mitzrayim. The goal of creation is hoda'ah. Coming back to our cycle of the year, which was never the intention, but we seem to keep coming back to every year. As we talked about last time, that the whole cycle of the year, we start off from that Nes Tiglat place, which is Nisan. And we go through the whole cycle of the year. And where do we come to a conclusion? Where does the year end off on? On Purim in? an other. That we start off from a place of a nation where everything is clear, and the whole goal of the journey of history, like we talked about last time, is to see God in everything and to recognize God even in the details of life. That's where we left it off last time. That was last week's shiur. Is to see God in every detail of life. That was how we gave an overarching theme to Parshat Ki Tetzé. Is to go out and to fight that war. To fight that war against whom? What was last week's shiur? To fight that war against Amalek. The end of Parshat Ki Tetzé was the final battle. The end of Parshat Ki Tetzé was when you finally come to rest in your land and you come to basically, parentheses, Ki Tavo, you're about to get into Ki Tavo. The last battle of fight is to wipe out every last remnant of Amalek from your midst. And that's why I put it source number 2 on your sheet. That's the last psukim that come right before Parshat Ki Tavo. The goal is to move from the Nes Nigleh part of the year, the revealed part of the year where we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wonderful and great and taking care of us and loves us and takes us out of Egypt and does miracles for us and gives the Torah. That's the easy part. But the rest of the year and the rest of human history, we go more and more and more and more into the darker and darker and darker, more difficult details of the year. And we have to see God even in the Nes Nistar, which is exactly what the Ramban said. The goal of Pesach, the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to get us to Purim and to get us to the Nes Nistar. Again, see it within the words of the Ramban. That's why this Ramban is also quoted around Purim time. The top of page 2. Hear it. Umina nisima dolima meforsamim adam mode benisima nistarim shu yisora tarakula. Through the Nes Nigleh, one comes to recognize the Nes Nistar. And that's the foundation of all of the Torah. That's why Devarim concludes on the Nes Nistar. That's why the end of Parshat Ki Tetzé is ending on a Nes Nistar before we come to that settling place. The end of the journey of Devarim before we start wrapping up Devarim is all about seeing God in the details of everything. That's the goal. That's the foundation of the Torah. That's the foundation of all of those mitzvot in Parshat Shoftim. That's the goal of Torah itself, is to see God in everything, in the Nes Nistar. And as we pointed out, we do that through wiping out Amalek. Again, last week's shiur. Amalek is that doubt. Amalek is that lack of certainty, is that uncertainty. Amalek is that place within us that wonders, is this just all naturally occurring? It's the Purim. It's the lottery. Is this all chance? Is this all mikre? Or is this intentional? Is God with me every step of the way? Is God the one who's taking care of me? Is God the one who's guiding me? Is God being mashkiach? Is God guiding every aspect of my life in the world to bring it to the good? Or not? And then we have to wipe out Amalek. That's the end of Parshat Ki Tetzé. That's the final battle that we face. What we didn't talk about last week, because we weren't up to that parsha yet, is what comes after we settle in the land. After we go through all of the dreams, we fight all the battles, we go out, and we fight the last battle that there is to fight. And we wipe out Amalek from every aspect of our hearts and every little point of the world. What's the next place that we have to come to? Then we come to Ki Tavo. But looking at the cycle of the year, which month comes after Adar? We've gone through Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. We go through the whole cycle of the year and we come to Adar. What's the next month? Well, Nisan. Well, that doesn't help. Then we're just starting all over again. That's not helpful at all. Meaning, how can there be a stage after Purim? How can there be a stage after Adar? How can there be a stage after the Nes Nistar? The answer is that just like on the board we have a cycle of the Jewish year and it makes a circle, everything, Judaism is all revolving around circles. Circles with direction and vector, but all revolving around circles. Because what comes after Adar? Nisan, and that's very intentional. And what happens after we beat Amalek in Purim, in Adar, in the end of Parshat Ki Tetzé? Where do we immediately go to the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo? What? Say it. Where do we go into in Parshat Ki Tavo? We come right back to Pesach. We come right back to Nisan. We come to the paragraph that comes the paragraph of the Haggadah. Because the cycle of the Jewish year is taking us from that revelation, that we're supposed to see, and like we talked about last time, that inspiration at the beginning, we go through all of that hard work to see God in all of those details, and then we come back to that re-inspiration that we've earned, that we've built, that we deserve. We've come to that place of rest where we've built for ourselves a place to rest. We come back home, but so much richer for what we've accomplished. We come full circle. That's why the Gemara tells us and says very explicitly in a few places, source number 8 is one example, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, B'nisan nigalu, in Nisan we were redeemed originally, but makes the point that B'nisan atidin ligael, and we'll be redeemed in Nisan as well. Why bother redeeming us in the same time, in the same place? Because we're coming right back to where we started, but having earned it. We're coming right back to where we started, having gone through the journey, the bloody journey of history, the difficult journey of history, the impossible journey of history. And come back to the exact same place that we started. We're right back at Nisan. We're right back at Pesach. We're right back at Hodah. But it's Hodah that we've earned by working to see God in every aspect of reality. And we come to rest in a space of Hodah for eternity. In Nusach Sfarb. Their tradition is awesome and ours is suspect. Nusach Sfarb. They say every Shabbos, they incorporate it even into the Tefillat Musaf of Shabbat, very specifically. In Kedusha, they say, Hu Yoshienu, God will redeem us, V'galinu Shenit, and will redeem us once again for a second time. V'yashminu barachamav shenit l'nei kochai l'mor. Hein ga'alti etchem, acharit kireshit. The original redemption, the coming redemption will be just like the original redemption. It all comes back full circle to Nisan. It all comes back to its origin point. Because everything are circles. Everything cycles back into each other. Everything's always moving. Everything's always going. Everything's always turning. Judaism is all about constantly going higher and higher and higher by cycling through and spiraling upward and going up and up and up and continuing to achieve greater heights. Next. Okay. And that's something which isn't easy to achieve. And Sefer Devarim itself, and the Torah itself, and history itself proves that something which we're working to achieve throughout history is to get to that place of Hodah. Meaning, when we have a term like Hakarat HaTov, what does that literally mean? Recognizing the good. What's the implication of needing to get to Hakarat HaTov? Right. That very often the way that we see things is through a negative lens. And we need to come to be Makir the Tov to recognize that it's really all for the good. And from the very inception of the Jewish people, we have great difficulty with that. Because the original Giloy, the original Nisan, that was just to start us off. But it's going to take history to achieve that. So much so that the very generation itself that left Egypt, that very generation that saw Yitziat Mitzrayim, that saw the Makot, that saw Kriyat Yamsuf, that saw Matan Torah. They get to their ultimate destination. They get to Eretz Yisrael. You know which parsha? What parsha do they get there? We don't think about it like that because history doesn't go the way we hoped. But when do they get to Eretz Yisrael? We get there one time first. Parsha Shlach. Which we think of as Chet HaMeraglim. Well, why is it Chet HaMeraglim? Because we walk into the Kitavo of Eretz Yisrael. We go into Eretz Yisrael and we fail miserably. We have a totally opposite perspective of what Pesach, Yitziat Mitzrayim, and Jewish history is meant to produce. And on a Devarim level, it comes out. It doesn't even come out in Parshat Shlach. The full impact of it only comes out in Parshat Devarim when we re-examine the history we went through and understand it through a new lens. Take a look in source number 9, where Moshe Rabbeinu is retelling the story of Chet HaMeraglim. V'lo avitem la'alot v'tamru et pi Hashem Elokechem. You refused to go up and you rebelled against your God. And you set in your tents on that night which becomes Tisha B'Av. B'sinat Hashem otanu hotzianu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Out of God's hate for us, He took us out of Egypt. There could be no more opposite perspective. God takes us out of Egypt out of love, for the purpose of connecting with us, and making us his people, and bringing us to a good land, in order that we should give praise to him. And what do we see instead? We see a God of hate. We see a God of hate, which is unbelievable. The exact opposite perspective. The exact opposite perspective that requires all of history to correct. We'll do this quickly because we're running out of time. But it's unbelievable that we actually have a microcosm of this every single week. We recognize that this is the flow of history, of getting us from the mentality that we had at Parshat Shlach, at Yetzias Mitzrayim, the broken perspective, to try to get to a place of Hodah. Every single week, we have a microcosm of the entirety of all of history. The same way that history was meant to be 7 days long in creation, where it was created on the first day and was supposed to go into an eternal Shabbat that would go on forever and ever. So when do we reflect on that week? When do we reflect on that week as a microcosm of history? In what tefillah? Kabbalat Shabbat. If you take a look at Kabbalat Shabbat, take a look at it this Friday night. We have a couple of excerpts here, but take a look at it this Friday night and think about it through this lens. It just so happens that there are 7 paragraphs of Tehillim in Kabbalat Shabbat. We say the first 6, getting us, assumably, to from the first day to the second day to the third day to the fourth day to the fifth day of creation, to the sixth day of creation, standing there on the verge of Olam Haba, of Me'ein Olam Haba. We welcome it with the joyous song of Lechadodi, and then we conclude with Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, which is about Shabbat itself. And how does that first Mizmor start? How does Jewish history start? How does the history of the Jewish people start as reflected in our reflection on Jewish history? The very end of the paragraph is, see inside. Source number 10, Al takshu levavchem kimrivak yom masav mibar. Don't fight with me. Don't harden your hearts like you were in the desert. Asher nisuni avoteichem, where your forefathers tested me, bechanuni gamru fa'ali. Arba'im shana akup bedor, which you traveled for 40 years in the desert. Va'amar am tovei levavchem b'lemidu rachai. There are people who are totally off the way, and they don't understand my way. Their whole hearts are put off the way. Asher nishpati ba'apim v'onu mochati. They will never come to rest. A perspective like that never gets to a kitavo. But then slowly but surely through the second Mizmor, and the third Mizmor, and the fourth Mizmor, and the fifth Mizmor, and the sixth Mizmor. And Lechadodi, we finally come to Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. Tov Lehodot LaHashem. It's Shabbos. It's the end of history. It's time to give Hoda'ah. Tov Lehodot LaShem Ulezamer L'Shim Chayon, to sing to Him on high. Lehagid Baboker Chastecha, during the daytime when things are clear, in the beginning of history, the Boker, we talk of God's Chesed, but we also were we all stayed close to him and stuck with him all the way through the night times with the Nesni star. We can reflect on history and see that it was all for the good. The end of, we're skipping a little bit here, but to the end of the paragraph, Lahagid ki yashar Hashem, to say that God was always focused on a straight path to get us to the good. Tzuri v'lo avlat tabo, he's always been my rock and has never strayed from that. That's the goal that's even encompassed in our microcosm of history in Kabbalat Shabbat. In that build-up of those paragraphs. Everything that God takes us through in history is meant to get us to the good. The whole flow of history from Yetziat Mitzrayim and Nisan all the way to Adar, from Yetziat Mitzrayim to Purim, from our birth as a nation to Olam Haba, from leaving Egypt till we reside in Eretz Yisrael, all of that is meant to be for the good. But a lot of times it takes us until we get to the end of that process to be able to look back at everything that happened, like in the Parsha of Bikurim, to look back at all of history and see for real. Now I understand fully that every painful step of the way, every difficult step on the journey of life, on the journey of history, I now have a hakara that it was all litova. I now fully see how it was all for the good. I worked and worked and worked to see that along the way. And now at the Ge'ulah, now when everything is revealed, I can see how every step of the way God was with me, every step of the way God was taking care of me, every step of the way was for the good. That's how I'm looking back and reflecting on history. And I'm meant to do that every step of the way. What do we have at the second half of this parsha to quickly wrap up? What's the bulk of the parsha that we often talk about?
Betokacha.
Which is this contract, really, between us and God, where if we fulfill God's words, we get the brachot, and if we don't fulfill God's word, we get the klalot. It's a contract. It's a cause and effect. It's not just God telling us the horrible things that are going to happen. He's saying, if you come and commit to me and stick with me throughout history, look at all the amazing things that are going to happen to you. But if you break that history, if you stray, that I'm going to show you how much history can go off the rails to help bring you back. But there's a reason given in the Tochacha for why that happens. And look at it. See the way that it's phrased. And see it in a whole new way if you've seen it before. The Tochacha gives us a reason why it happens, why these negative things come about. In the middle of the Tochacha, in the center of the Tochacha, source number 12. It happens because Tachat asher lo avarata et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav merov kol. It comes from the fact that if through the journey of history, we don't have a simcha in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tuv levav, and a good heart, because we recognize everything that we have here is for the good and for a reason. I have kol, I have everything that I could possibly need. That's when God says, you don't think you have what you need? I'll show you what happens when I'm not guiding you, when I'm not holding your hand. See if how history plays out when I'm not guiding it for you, if you don't recognize that I'm with you. And then see if you don't come back to me. If you think I'm in here, I'll show you what not being here looks like. But that comes from a place of not being besimcha every step of the way. That comes from a place of not recognizing that we have everything that we need every step of the journey. And is directly contrasted to the end of the paragraph of Bikurim, which is how we're supposed to look at the end of days, where we come to that ultimate goal of Simcha, which is the last pasuk in that paragraph, in source number 3. The last pasuk in the paragraph of Bikurim. V'samachta b'chol hatov ashenatam lecha Hashem Elokecha. That's the goal of Bikurim, is to be sameach in all of the good that God has given us and recognize that everything that I have down to what grows in my field. It doesn't matter how well I tended it. It doesn't matter how I planted and how I plowed and how I sowed and how I reaped and how I took care of my field. It doesn't matter. V'samachta b'chol hatov, that God gave me through the natural world, because it's all God and everything brought me to this place. And I'm able to look back and reflect on that, that it's all coming from God. Last source, and we'll finish with this. Wanted to try to bring in something that's very relevant to this time of the year, and it certainly screams out. It's the last pasuk of the Mizmor that we're saying every single day, twice a day, for the month of Elul. At the end of the plea from David HaMelech, which is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should see him and connect him and come back to him and reconnect with him, the final chord of that pasuk is, Lulei ha'amanti lirot betuv Hashem be'eretz ha'chaim. My whole goal is hopefully to see the tuv Hashem, is to have hakarat ha'tov. Where do I have that ultimate hakarat ha'tov? What am I striving for? Where's that ultimate hakarat ha'tov? Where is it? Pasuk? Be'eretz ha'chaim. What does eretz ha'chaim mean? Depends on how you look at it. It could mean, finally, ki tavo to Eretz Yisrael, or to the ultimate destination of ki tavo to Olam Haba. And the goal of history is Kaveil Hashem Chazak Biamis Lebecha Vakaveil Hashem, is to constantly, deeply desire reaching that goal. Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to see God in every aspect of our lives, to strive towards seeing that goal, to bring God more deeply into our lives, to have Hoda'ah every moment of every day, like we're about to do right now, have every tefillah be soaked in Hoda'ah for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And through that, bring through our actions a reality of Olam Haba to Olam Hazeh, and through that experience, the Gula B'mehera B'Yameinu.